anything that's not on this evening's agenda? Okay, seeing none. The next item on the agenda is Jason Anderson from the District Ranger. Mr. Anderson will update the assembly on various Forest Service activities. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you, Mayor Jensen, Assembly members. Really had two things I wanted to cover tonight. One is in fact somewhat related to the issues and concerns that are coming forward with the two university sales. The Petersburg Ranger District has been working on the Mitkoff Island timber sale project. We're doing an environmental analysis for a fairly large project on the island spread out over many acres. I think you're going to hear in the future very similar concerns about habitat loss and or soil concerns, landslide issues associated with that project. My only encouragement in coming tonight is to, you know, offer up to the Assembly to really look into the details of the actual prescriptions, the acres, and the information available at a site-specific level. As you get into the analysis that we're performing, and again, I'm not sure if that information is available from the university, I think you'll find that while generally speaking there are areas over steep and slopes, et cetera, that have some risk of landslide, it's the site-specific information when you go out and walk the ground that dictates whether or not that risk is high or low. The agency has a process by which it'll respond to those risk evaluations before making a decision on which units to actually put forward. When it comes to habitat conditions across the island, I think you're going to see very similar concerns come forward on the Forest Service projects, and I would look to, again, the prescriptions and the actual treatment of the landscape condition from the proposed action as you weigh in on what the borough's, what the assembly's position is going to be. You know, while you'll see a 28 million board foot timber sale proposed from the Forest Service, it's spread out over 4,000 acres. On average, that's less than a log truck load off of each acre. Over 3,000 acres of that is partial harvest. In other words, most of the stand remaining will be there when it's over. The structural integrity of the forest stand is intact after harvest. This isn't a 4,000 acre clear cut. In fact, a lot of the concerns and the individuals and organizations who brought those concerns forward have helped shape that proposed action to address specifically the habitat concerns and habitat soils issues and other activities that are of concern from timber sales. So when the time comes, that analysis should be out later this summer. If the Assembly would like more information or would like to look into that, we would encourage you to do so. And it may actually be a reasonable template for you to explore your position on the South Mitkoff University sales. The other topic I wanted to bring up tonight is actually for the near future. Tomorrow evening, the Forest Service will be hosting a meeting to talk about recreation in and around the Mitkoff area, and specifically the Petersburg Ranger District. As some of you may have read in the paper over the last couple of months, the Forest Service has been responding to some pretty significant downturns in recreation dollars as allocated from Congress. We understand the direct economic impact that has on communities as the Forest Service manages for recreation economy and recreation outlets for its residents and visitors. Fewer budget dollars to respond to that management, to those management needs results in an impact to the communities. And so the idea for tomorrow evening was to gather up with those who are interested and start talking about what it is the district is going to be able to respond to in the future, what opportunities we might try to capitalize on, where we might see some opportunities for increased partnering to try and help protect some of the resources, some of the recreation amenities that have been built up over the years. I would encourage anybody from the Assembly or those that you have contact with to come and participate. I think from an economic perspective, recreation jobs and recreation-based tourism in Southeast Alaska is a huge economic driver, on par with fisheries, on par with timber, one that would be well worth our time and attention, and I'm hoping to get some good turnout for that. Some specific things that will come, you're going to see some cabin closures in the near future. Two on the Petersburg Ranger District have already been sort of named, and we've gone through a process for that, the DeBoer Lake Cabin on the mainland, and the potential closure of the Harvey Lake Cabin as well. We're looking at options to try and avoid closure of the Harvey Lake Cabin, thanks to the efforts of PIA, Petersburg Indian Association, but as yet we haven't figured out what that's going to look like. The reality is, with the budget cuts we were seeing, though, those two cabins, having been very, very low use, were fairly easy decisions. Some of the more difficult decisions to come may include recreation facilities, cabins, or trails that are of much more importance to the communities. And so, not necessarily specific to Petersburg, but across Southeast, we're going to have to make some tough decisions about what we can afford to maintain, what we can afford to continue to invest in. So, would encourage anyone in the audience, as well as the Assembly, to come over tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at the Forest Service office, and would be happy to come up with any additional information afterwards and keep the Assembly apprised of what's going on.
Oh, thank you for your information, Jason. Any questions of Mr. Anderson?
I do have one question. I would love to go to the meeting. I may not be able to do that because of other obligations, but will you have Any printed information I could pick up?
Yeah, we'll probably have a series of. I think the topic is robust enough that we won't be able to cover it in just a few hours without putting people to sleep. So ultimately, we'd like to have a series of different discussions to really get us around opportunities, short-term risks, long-term challenges, those kind of questions. But yeah, we'll make some print, and we've been talking with the pilot about trying to get some good publicity on it as well.
Thank you, Jason. John?
Jason, I was listening to the story out of Ketchikan about these meetings, mm-hmm. and the one thing that sounded kind of interesting, they said for places that had a lot of support, that even if you didn't have money, it's possible to have volunteer groups or someone like that. Is this part of your discussion for tomorrow night?
Yeah, ultimately trying to figure out what opportunities exist, what interest there is within the community to try and bolster up what the Forest Service can't do. You know, ultimately, I have a hard time coming to the community or to the public asking for handouts. You're already paying taxes. You're already investing in those resources. The question is, you know, if there's a particular interest in trying to help leverage those resources, what are our options to do? So if volunteer is genuinely interested, or if there's an interest in volunteerism, we'd be happy to look at where it can fit. There are some things that may not be a good fit for volunteerism. For instance, we probably won't put somebody on the brusher to go brush roads. However, if there's an interest in some trail maintenance or trail construction, another good example, off-road vehicles. There's a small but active group of off-road vehicle enthusiasts in the community. They've actively been working on some motorized trail areas that I think it would be great to get them under a more formal operating agreement and put them in the right path to go forth and do good things under their existing willingness to volunteer. So, yeah, those are all options, formal partnerships with entities, grant income. We can look at a variety of ways to stretch those dollars. But ultimately, it's about living within our means and making sure the public is aware of what that is. And if we're off base on what we're assuming is a priority, that's really important feedback. You know, we're making some assumptions based upon what we've seen public react to over 10 or 15 years. If we're off base on that, I'd love to know and change course. So.
Any other questions of Mr. Anderson? Thanks, Jason,
for coming and talking with us.
Okay, next item on the agenda is board, commission, and committee reports. And this evening we have a report on the sales tax ordinance review committee work by Sue Flynn.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and good evening, assemblymen and women. This is kind of a long overdue report. We finished our work, I think, the end of February, and we've just had trouble catching everyone here. First of all, I'd like to thank the Sales Tax Review Committee that consisted of Hillary Whitethorn, John Mergus, Fran Jones, Lee Corio, Nancy Strand, and Shelley Pope and myself. We met all through the fall and winter, and this was our mission statement: to review the sales tax code, to simplify the code and collection procedures, and to generate an equal or greater amount of revenue so the borough doesn't have to decrease services or increase property taxes. We first of all looked at what other communities are doing in the way of sales tax. We discussed many of the options that they use. This included fish boxes, taxing pull tabs, tobacco and alcohol taxes, out-of-town sales, and others. We decided not to recommend the fish box tax. The lodges are just getting used to now having to pay bed taxes since borough formation, but it is a possible source of revenue in the future if you're interested. The pull tab discussion drew quite a crowd. It was decided that pull tab profits do a lot of good things in our community already, such as support for Little League, scholarships, maintenance of the Sons of Norway on the historic register, and other good work. So they figured taxing that wasn't worthwhile. We learned that it's not legal to have an excise tax on alcohol. Juneau does do that, but they were grandfathered in. We cannot do that at this time. Tobacco tax was also discussed, and everyone was in favor of that. PIA came and spoke. They have a smoking cessation specialist, and they really encouraged this. They have found that increasing the cost of a pack of cigarettes particularly discourages young smokers or young people from starting to smoke. And I think the pilot had a very good article about that in the paper last week. We were thinking about this as a way of funding some of the capital needs at the hospital, since smokers tend to end up at the hospital. We hope you will support this and have it on the ballot in October. The toughest decision was what to do about senior citizen sales tax exemption. Most who testified said they are worried about hurting the poor if it was discontinued. Several said it would be more fair to do away with the exemption and lower it for everyone. Then young families wouldn't be subsidizing seniors who really don't need the help. A compromise was proposed to leave this discount for heating, fuel, and the WIC-approved groceries. This would cover the biggest expenses of seniors and have the other benefit of only the grocery stores and the fuel suppliers of having to deal with these senior citizen discount cards. However, the seniors on the committee couldn't support any change. Two members said they would have to move away if we made any changes. So there is no recommended change except in the proof of residency for the card. We suggest that the staff use PFDs as a proof of residency rather than the Alaska driver's license, which you can get with just 30 days residency. That eliminates people here for 30 days and also lets the state decide who really lives here. The tax cap increase was decided to match Sitka and Wrangell at $1,500. It's now at $1,200, and then you don't pay tax above that. We were not aware at the time of our meeting that the increase to $1,700 that was on the ballot 2 years ago only failed by 2 votes. So you might want to change that number, but we're hoping that will be on the ballot as well. Probably a whole sales tax ballot, not a pick and choose, we want this, we want that. Let's see, I just want to say thanks for the opportunity, thanks to the committee, and I'd like to say thanks to Jody Tao, Ann Hurt, and Cammie Peterson from the finance office for all their help and assistance. Now I'd like to just give you my personal opinion on some of this. I was very disappointed that the committee couldn't come to any kind of agreement on changes as far as senior tax. That seems to be the biggest thorny issue in town. So now I come to you as a citizen, a taxpayer, a business owner, and a baby boomer. I thought we had a good compromise limiting the sales tax exemption to seniors to home heating fuel and WIC-approved groceries. It seemed to satisfy what most testimony was asking for, looking out for the senior poor. I would like to ask you to consider placing the question on the ballot this fall. I feel strongly that this is in the best interest of Petersburg. As you know, you only have property tax and sales tax to fund the budget. The senior population is growing faster now that the baby boomers are turning 65. This means a decrease in both sales tax and property tax, as they now qualify for both exemptions. The state mandates the property tax forgiveness up to $150,000 of a home. So you only have control over the sales tax. This has become an entitlement, regardless of need. This compromise has many advantages, one being that only the grocery stores and fuel suppliers have to deal with the exemption cards. That would please many business owners. The WIC-approved groceries are the basics, the milk, eggs, fruit, vegetables, whole grains, etc. This WIC list is already programmed into grocery store registers, so it's easy for them to separate taxable and non-taxable items. And as usual, all seniors will still get their 10% off on Tuesday. That has nothing to do with the sales tax. That is a bonus given by the stores, and most grocery stores all over the country do this on one day of the month, one day of the week, whatever. Since that letter was written, like today on Borough Business, I heard that Mr. Wohlhuter has another plan, phase it out altogether. That's another idea. Wrangell and Haynes have no senior sales tax exemptions. Some other communities in Southeast that do are trying to get rid of it. This exemption was started when the oil money came around to help reward Alaska's pioneers and to help them stay in the state. Well, those pioneers who are left now are in their 80s and their 90s. Baby boomers are not pioneers. So, the advantage of getting rid of some of these exemptions are many. There are many. One of them, which we have learned of recently, we've got new software, point-of-sale software for our business. Well, we learned after a month or so that it can't handle Petersburg sales tax. This company has businesses in 50 states all over the country, and we have about the most complicated sales tax exemptions they've ever seen. So we actually had to switch software again for second time in a year. So I just wanted you to know how, when you figure your sales tax report as a business every year, every month, here's what you have to go through. The over 65 sales, the government sales, the out-of-town sales. But if you do labor on out-of-town equipment, you have to tax the labor but not the parts. Okay, anything over $1,200, not taxed. Anything for resale, anything from nonprofits, and then, of course, tax-free day. So to simplify our tax code would be a wonderful thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. I've added one person under the board, commission, and committee reports, Rick Braun. He's the chair of the Land Selection Committee, and I asked him to come and talk about the RFP, his opinion on it for the conference.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Assembly members. The Land Selection Committee has had a couple of meetings. We haven't done a lot here. A lot of people have been out of town and quite busy. Some other issues concerning that I'll get into later. We received maps from DNR showing the vacant, unappropriated, unreserved, or VUU lands within the borough. And we acquired some good aerial photos of these areas, and we started discussions about the various characteristics of each of the parcels. And we also found out that the borough was entitled to about 1,300, a little over 1,300 acres of land. There's like 18,000 acres of state land in the borough, and we're entitled to 10% of that, less the land that the city got before. So that came to about 1,300 acres. In order to select parcels that will benefit the borough in the future, we need selection criteria. What land characteristics are desired? What is the future for Petersburg in terms of industry, recreation, transportation, and energy? These are all questions that would be answered in our comprehensive plan. I would encourage the Assembly to move quickly to get the comprehensive plan started. I think the last plan that we did here in Petersburg was about 30 years ago. I participated in this plan. And my recommendation is that you seek proposals from professional planning firms, much like the ones we employed 30 years ago. You need people with a wide range of skills and knowledge. Planners, economists, engineers, architects, and meeting facilitators. And writers, and as we've seen tonight, probably foresters and geologists as well. So I think it'd be very difficult to find people in Petersburg that have these skills, and it would also be hard to find that could dedicate the time. I'm sure there's people in this town that have these skills, but can they dedicate the time, and would they have the objective views that we need for somebody to put together this plan. So I would encourage you to send out RFPs and get proposals from professional firms for this work.
Thank you, Rick. The next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. There's no items on the consent agenda this evening. Report of other officers. We'll ask Representative Hannah Funt to come and give a report to us. And then after that, we'll take a short break.
Hi, I'm Hannah Funt. I'm the representative from the high school, the ASB. And I'm just here to give a report on what's been going on in the school lately. First, start with some academic stuff. We had 13 new members inducted into NHS this week. So that was really exciting. They had to have a certain academic standard and service, and so it was really cool to see that many students inducted. Yeah. And our Students of the Year, our Elks Students of the Year, were chosen. They were Skipper Erickson and Abby Taylor, and so that was exciting. And our ASB had new elections that were held, and Skipper Erickson was elected our president, and we also chose other executive officers. Our track and field students came back this weekend from regionals, and it was very exciting. Just some things that happened. The girls took first, and the boys took a really close second. And some of our individual students that did very well were Isabel Ith, who was a region champion, and Ben Zarlango, and Billy Ware, Alan Jensen, and Abel Albach. They were all region champions. And the state qualifiers will be traveling to Anchorage this weekend to compete. So, yes. Baseball, they'll be traveling to Juneau this weekend, and then Regions the next weekend in Sitka. And they just wanted to thank Parks and Rec for all the work they've done with the ball field and keeping that facility going. And they really appreciate it, and we do too. So that's it.
Thank you, Anna. That was an exciting track meet to go watch. There's no doubt about that.
It was really exciting.
It was fun. Okay, I think we'll take a 5-minute break if we could all muster back here in that length of time. Yeah, I was going to, just trying to be proper. Okay, we'll call the meeting back to order. The next item on tonight's agenda is the mayor's report. Get to the written part here. Okay, we sent a letter in support for the hatchery rebuild by SARA, Southern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association. The Fish and Game is attempting to fast-track the repairs at Crystal Lake Hatchery so that an incubation room can be in place sometime this fall or early winter. In order to make this critical deadline, Fish and Game is seeking support for SARA to perform the rebuilds. What we're asking is the insurance money goes straight to SARA, and then instead of going through DOT, and then it'll make the process faster. So we've sent a letter along those lines. Got a copy of an agreement on the medical center roof. The medical center and contractor Silver Bowl Construction have reached an agreement to remedy the deficiencies on the new roof of the medical center. The repair work will be completed this summer. It's going to include removing some of the metal that's been installed, and they will have a good workforce come and perform the job. So that was good to hear. School board appointment to vacancies. The school board has appointed Megan Lister and Jay Lister to the board until the October 2014 municipal election. There is a sea otter workshop. Alaska Sea Grant and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will provide a sea otter workshop to share results of their research in southern southeast Alaska. The workshop will focus on the interaction of sea otters with commercially important prey. Interested residents may attend the video conference here at the Assembly Chambers on Tuesday, May 20th at 8:30 a.m. There's been attorney's fees awarded. Superior Court Judge Menendez has awarded attorney fees in the amount of $1,500 each to Petersburg and to the state regarding Juneau's claims against Petersburg and the Local Boundary Commission regarding borough boundaries. Juneau continues its appeal in the Supreme Court, and that's going to be probably could be up to 10 months, I bet, before we know where our northern boundary is. So that makes things a little bit confusing at times. But negotiations with SEPA. If there are no objections from the Assembly, I plan to assist the borough manager in the negotiations with SEPA regarding the dissolution of Thomas Bay Power Authority. I am very familiar with these issues and have been involved with the transition of the four dam pool to SEPA from the onset. On the comprehensive plan, due to the great importance of a comprehensive plan for the community and the absence of several people from the May 5th meeting that could have provided more information, I believe the topic deserves further discussion and debate. So to assure there is adequate consideration given to this important subject, I will be placing the issuance of an RFP for help on a comprehensive plan back on the June 2nd agenda. Just for your information on my schedule with fishing, I will be here for sure the first meeting in June, and the first gillnet opening is June 15th, so we'll be back on the water. So I ask your permission to be vacant, be gone, I guess. There is no written manager's report.
Nothing
this time.
This week.
This brings us to unfinished business, and first items there are ordinances for the third and final reading. First ordinance this evening is ordinance 2014-6, and that's an ordinance providing for Chapter 4.50 E-911 Emergency Communications Fund of the Municipal Code and updating current language to reflect borough incorporation. The ordinance was amended by the Assembly on May 5, 2014 to remove the under oath statement originally contained in Section 4.50.040. So I'd entertain a motion to adopt Ordinance 2014-6 in its third and final reading.
So moved.
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved by, was that you, Jay, that did that? By Member Greger and seconded by Member Lagadakis. So any discussion? Seeing none, will the clerk call the roll?
John.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
Okay, it passes unanimously. Next ordinance for third and final reading this evening is Ordinance 2014-7, and this is an ordinance adjusting the fiscal year 2014 budget for known changes. The ordinance was amended by the Assembly at the May 5, 2014 meeting to provide for purchase of a new road grader in the current year budget. So I would entertain a motion to adopt 2014-07 in its third and final reading.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved by Member Lynn, seconded by Member Walhooter to adopt Ordinance 2014-07 in its third and final reading. Any discussion? Seeing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Yes.
John?
No.
Jay?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes. Ordinance 2014-7 passes 6-1. Okay, next item on this evening's agenda is ordinance for second reading. Ordinance 2014-08 is an ordinance providing for Chapter 4.60 of the Municipal Code, Parks and Recreation User Fees, and updating current language to reflect borough incorporation. I would entertain a motion to adopt Ordinance 2014-08 in its second reading.
So moved.
A second? It's been motion's been made by Member Haverlick, seconded by Member Greger to adopt Ordinance 2014-8 in its second reading. Any discussion?
I have a question.
Yes.
I'm confused about what do they mean non-resident and resident? What resident of what?
Can you explain that, Donnie?
We did make an adjustment to this now that it's going for the borough rather than just area one versus the city of Petersburg. And so I believe in the ordinance it actually states what is a resident versus what is not a resident. Basically, I'm trying to pull it up fairly quickly, but the basic understanding is that any member of the borough is considered a resident, and any person that is not in the borough is considered a non-resident. We found that pretty much across the board, most of our non-resident usage usually came from those that were working from the fish cleaning cannery. Thank you, that's the word I was looking for. And so, you know, a very small portion was actually coming from outside of Area 1. And so it seemed like a pretty fair way to go.
Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Thank you, Donnie. Any other questions or discussion on Ordinance 2014-8? Okay, seeing none, will the clerk please call the roll?
Jay.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
John.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
And Nancy.
Yes.
Okay, Ordinance 2014-8 passes unanimously in its second reading. Next ordinance up for discussion this evening is ordinance 2014-09, an ordinance providing for Chapter 13.12, camping/recreation areas of the Municipal Code, and updating current language to reflect borough incorporation. Entertain a motion to adopt this in its second reading.
So move.
Second.
It's been moved by Member Haverlick, seconded by Member Walhooter to adopt ordinance 2014-09. Discussion?
Mr. Mayor. Under section 0.040 of that ordinance, it says here that the sole person that can allow camping or not camping on any controlled borough or property is solely the Parks and Rec Director. I have a problem with that. I think the borough ought to be included in that.
So I'm
because
trying
we don't have a Parks and Rec Board anymore that he can bounce those off of. I'm uncomfortable with just one person making that decision.
So where is this written? It's a
13. It's under 13.12.040. They took the city council out of it, and then just added Parks and Rec Director solely. And I would like to add back in Borough Assembly, and has to get the approval of both for that sort of permitting.
Mr. Mayor, if I may.
Yes.
Obviously, this is really up to the Assembly. The reason this was done was we get these requests for somebody that wants to camp, you know, Boy Scouts or something like that. And rather than having to take it to the Assembly, we thought we could, staff would approve it. But again, I mean, this is one of those, if the Assembly wants that authority, we can leave it that way.
So I could see where that could be a problem if it has to go through three readings to get a decision.
Wouldn't take three readings, but
could take 2 weeks.
Potentially.
So, thank you, Steve. So, Kurt, what you're proposing is to amend it back where 13.12.040 A and B are back in the ordinance?
I would like to see the Borough Assembly involved in that, seeing how there's not a board of directors anymore, or they don't have a board. I mean, not, you know, they just don't have a board to bounce things off them anymore.
Right. Cindy?
Mr. Mayor, I would recommend that we include language that says that we would develop a schedule based on group size, and that the Parks and Rec Director would have the discretion of whether or not to allow the group, and then we would have some controls over it. I would like to see us have a Parks and Rec Advisory Committee back again, and so I share Kurt's concern. But absent that, I think that coming up with some criteria instead of having to come to the Assembly each time might be a more easily manageable situation.
So I guess we need a motion then with a specific language that we want to replace or put in here. Kurt, what would be your...
I'd like to say what she said, but... No, I mean, I remember that we've only had one incident when we've had a group of people that wanted to camp out there, and that was the paddlers going down to the Chief Shake's rededication, and they gave us weeks in advance. It seemed to me that was a pretty easy decision to make as an Assembly, and I think most of the time it would be. So,
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Donnie.
Yeah. Council, Assembly Member Wolhuter actually is correct on that. There has been only one since he's been on the Assembly. There has been two in the 4 years that I've been the director. And the last one was the Girl Scouts, who came to me about a week in advance. I mean, those have been the only two that we've ever actually had anybody ask for permission to do so, just as information.
So it's not something that happens frequently. Bob?
Yep. If we were to put criteria in here, what would be your recommendation for the criteria?
My recommendation, I mean, off the top of my head, would definitely have to do with group size. I mean, there are public residences very close to that that would be a concern. Noise regulations, I mean, making sure that, you know, that people aren't having huge parties there after 10 o'clock. So that way, you know, the residents can actually, you know, sleep at night. That would be helpful. You know, fires out by midnight. I think there would be a fairly large list of things that we would want to have in there. But I think most of those can be discussions directly with the group as the times come up.
Could we propose, as part of Cindy's, to allow for the next reading to come back with a criteria, some brief criteria that we would use, that could be used to address this question?
I think we do have one more reading, so yeah. We don't have to amend this totally now. And right. If we had some language in front of us at the next meeting that we could vote on, but we need to pass it in this second reading if it's going to get to the third.
Mr. Mayor, I would remove my objection if we would consider this discussion. It sounds like it's not imminent that we have hordes of groups coming in that need a decision on it now. So if we could consider developing some additional criteria and amend the ordinance sometime in the future, yeah. I would be comfortable with voting for it.
Jay, did you have a comment?
I guess I'm hesitant by nature to want to, as an assembly, decide who and who cannot camp at Sandy Beach. I feel much more comfortable deferring that to Parks and Rec. That's my reservation I've got with this.
Okay. Any more discussion on direction we should go? I kind of feel like Jay. I mean, it's unfortunate, in my opinion, that we don't have a Parks and Rec board anymore, but that happened, and I guess we could reinstate it if we, at some point. But for now, I think I'd trust the Parks and Rec director to do a good job with the who he allows in there. But if the assembly wants to put some criteria in there, we can sure come up with some language for the third reading. Kathy, what would be the proper way to do that? Could we vote on it like it is now? And then we probably shouldn't discuss it outside of the assembly chambers.
I just was wondering the why that the assembly wants to get involved with administration. I think it'd be cleaner if you do just bring it to the borough assembly instead of putting criteria in your ordinance. It's more of an administrative type thing instead of a law.
Okay. I value your opinion. Any more, Kurt?
Just one last comment here, Mark, and then I'll let it go here. But, I don't know if I'm channeling John Holger or not, but, that was always going to be his intention, was these sort of decisions, if they're not going to be made by an elected board, then it should come before the assembly to be decided mm-hmm. upon. Not every little jot and tittle, but, some large group, if they want to come in, or that sort of thing is all. So I'd feel more comfortable if we just put some language in there that... if a group wants to come, and if they've got 2 weeks to wait, they should plan on it if it needs to go that way. If I don't get, if you guys don't vote the other way. I'm only one vote, by the way.
So is this, that should be in form of a formal motion, and we should have a second on it before we're even discussing it, so I kind of overstepped that, so.
Okay, then maybe I'll make a formal motion here that we should maybe put back in Borough Assembly, may allow camping on borough-owned and controlled properties. Like, see, they took out the city council.
Right.
If
so
that were, they were going to change the language to borough, then it should be borough assembly instead of Parks and Rec director. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, so you want to add the language back in that was crossed out in the first sentence of the first
right.
paragraph.
But it's says borough assembly instead, and then cross out Parks and Rec director.
So you like that word, the borough assembly and Parks and Recreation director? Or how would it, I'm not an ordinance writer.
Just a point of clarification. It looks like there are two places in that paragraph that you would want to make that substitution. Am I correct?
Well, as for the fees, I think that he could impose a fee. I don't think that should be up to us because he's the one that would handle the monies and not so much us. I looked at that too and I thought about that, but... Mm-hmm. The only thing is without a board direction, I'd like to have some oversight.
Okay, so the motion is to change the language in the first sentence and add back in the borough assembly mm-hmm. and Parks and Recreation. Is that correct?
Scratch Parks and Rec director.
So it's going to be the sole. So
may allow camping on borough-owned and controlled property, including the Sandy Beach Recreation. That's how that would read.
The borough assembly.
Yeah.
May allow camping. Okay.
Yeah.
So borough right. squared away with what the language was going to be.
I have a question. And when we vote on this now, if we vote in favor of this or say we vote against this change, are we voting down the entire second reading
no.
of the ordinance?
No, this is an amendment to the...
Just the amendment.
Amendment to the main motion where we're on the second reading of the camping permit.
And then we will again.
And then we will go back to that. So is there any more discussion on the amendment made by Member Wallhooter to change the language where it states the Borough Assembly, and then cross out Parks and Rec Director, may allow camping on borough-owned or controlled property, including in the Sandy Beach Recreation Area. So everybody good on the language before you?
Yeah, yeah, Mr. Mayor, just a point of order here. Do I need a second on that motion?
Yeah, you should have had
okay.
a second.
Okay.
Motion made by Member Wallhooter, seconded by Member Lagadakis. We've had all our discussion, and maybe we're a little bit out of order.
Okay.
I think we've got
limited
the job
by four
done.
Minutes.
So.
That was my 4 minutes.
Any more? Sorry about that. Any more discussion? Okay, this vote is on the amendment. Clerk, call the roll.
Jay.
No.
No.
Cindy.
Yes.
John.
Yes.
Mark.
No.
Kurt.
Yes.
Nancy.
No.
No. So did I get the tally right that the amendment fails 4-3?
That's correct.
Okay, now we're back to the main motion, and the main motion is, if I'm my spot here, to adopt Ordinance 2014-8 in its second reading. Is there any more discussion or amendments on this main motion? Will the clerk call the roll?
Mark.
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
John.
Yes.
And Jay.
Yes.
Okay, Ordinance 2014-08 passes unanimously in its second reading and moves us on to Ordinance 2014-09, an ordinance providing for Chapter 13.12, camping/recreation areas of the Municipal Code, and updating current language to reflect borough incorporation. I would entertain a motion to adopt Ordinance 2014-09 in its second reading.
Didn't we just do that?
We did that one?
Shake it off. We're
I
good.
Thought
we're
we
good.
Did the user fees, and now we're on to
no.
2014-09. Oh, okay.
User fees passed.
Got it.
Shake it off. We're
okay,
good.
I will. Ordinance 2014-10, an ordinance adopting the budget and setting the millage rates for the fiscal year July 1st, 2014 through June 30th, 2015 as amended. The ordinance was amended by the Assembly on May 5th, 2014 to address motor pool fund needs. The ordinance has been further amended for the motor pool to reflect the purchase of a wheelchair accessible van for Mountain View Manor, which we addressed earlier. So entertain a motion to adopt Ordinance 2014-10 in its second reading.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made by Member Strand, seconded by Member Wallhooter to adopt Ordinance 2014-10. Any discussion?
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
Oh, John had his hand up. No, John had his hand up. I just butted in. Go ahead.
Okay. I was looking that way. Okay, John, you're first.
Okay. This was Mr. Mayor. First thing I'd like to say is my no vote on 07, I thought it was this one, so that should be changed to a yes. You don't have to. It already went through.
I think
through.
It's passed,
that's
so
okay.
It's kind of hard to go back.
But, yeah, no problem. But I'm still really, really concerned about our spending, and would hope that, you know, a lot of the changes we said we couldn't make this year because there wasn't a timely manner. But I'm not going to vote for this this budget because I think we're spending way too close to what we're bringing in, and we're not saving for our future. And I would like to see us make cuts next year that would give us about $1 million latitude. I don't know if that can happen, but that's my goal. And, you know, if we need to give people notice, schools, hospital, all the departments. And I have, you know, I think the schools are doing an excellent job and the departments are doing an excellent job, but I just don't think we can afford what we're spending. And we need to cut back so we can pay for
the services and the things we desperately need, like repairs of school, the hospital, rebuilding the police station. We don't have any money put aside for any of that. And the contingency we have, the leeway we have at the end of this budget, will probably all be spent. So we're not having any leeway. So that would be my reason for a no vote on this.
Okay. Kurt.
Mr. Mayor, pertaining to the millage rates, how we set millage rates in the future, I would like us to look into the overtaxation of some of these people that have absolutely no services whatsoever that have been paying 10 mil on their properties, like those folks out at Frederick Point East. I've had long conversations with them. They've been paying 10 mil. They get no sewer, no water, no electrical, no police, no fire, no garbage. You know, and I believe that's probably we need to look into that. So I told them I'd mention that tonight. That's going to be on the radar for this next, you know, when we go through this again, so we can look into that and rectify some of these inappropriate charges.
Okay. Any more discussion on Ordinance 2014-10? Seeing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
John?
No.
And Kurt?
Yes.
Okay, it passes 6-1, Ordinance 2014-10 in its second reading. Brings us to new business, Ordinance 2014-11, an ordinance placing the question of exemption from the Alaska Public Officials Financial Disclosure Law on the October 7th, 2014 municipal election ballot. Entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance in its first reading.
So move.
Second.
Motion's been made by Member Haverlick, seconded by Member Walhuter to adopt 2014-11 in its first reading. Discussion? I think it would be a worthy thing to have on the ballot. We had it before the state election to become a borough, and I think it would put a lot more people, interested in being on these positions, selected positions. So that's my only comment. Clerk, call the roll.
Mark?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
And Beth?
Yes.
Okay, Ordinance 2014-11 passes unanimously. Next item under new business, item B, is authorization to amend the professional services agreement with MRV Architects for municipal building renovations to include design development phase at $207,826, construction documents phase at $278,818, and bidding phase at $20,010. The $506,654 proposal reflects expense for the police station portion at $337,770 and the municipal offices portion at $168,884. The proposal does not include fees estimated at $14,500 to assist with 9/11 and communications system. Additional information regarding the proposal not included in the meeting packet is available for review at the clerk's office. Would entertain a motion to authorize the city manager to move forward with the professional services agreement with MRV.
I so move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's been made by Member Lagadakis, seconded by Member Greger to authorize the manager to move forward with this expenditure. And this money, Steve, would all be coming from grant funds that we've received already?
Yes, sir.
To get this project for this building basically shovel-ready.
That's the plan. We would use the money we've already received for both planning as well as construction to get the design and construction documents done. Then some site work, we'd remove the old Mitkoff Motors building, do the remediation under it, and have that ready to go as well.
Mr. Mayor, I wanted to ask Chief Swihart if the fees or the city manager or the borough manager, if the fees for the 911 and communication system will be coming from the phone receipts that you had talked about at a prior meeting.
If I may, Kelly, possibly. Okay. One of the reasons we didn't have MRV include that is we have another vendor that's a little more expert on those areas that we may we're looking at using their services. That's their expertise.
Okay. Bob?
That was one of my questions Cindy had. Yeah. The second one was, can you be a little more specific about the grant money that we have on board to pay for this?
We received a grant for $350,000 for planning purposes towards this facility. We then received $1 million this year and $2.5 million the year before, and a reallocation of money from the fire hall in the amount of
1.4.
Thank you very much. $1.4 million. So the idea behind it is, while the full construction budget is not funded, to keep the project moving forward, get the design documents done. It also actually helps with the legislature when we can say, as Mark says, as I said, shovel ready, here's the design. The farther you get down that design process, the more accurate your construction numbers get.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Any more discussion on the authorization to...
Yeah, if I may.
Yeah,
Jim. Mr. Manager, a question in terms of what is our total shortfall in terms of from now till completion at this point?
Okay. If we...
Ballpark, of course.
Yes. Yeah. We are roughly $4.7 million short for everything. That's assuming the prices stay firm. The architect originally forecasted an increase of 5% in costs if we didn't start the project by about March.
I recall.
At this point, the assumption is we will not be starting the project in March because it was not fully funded. So we would assume there'd be some price creep, so that $4.7 million might go up. I don't have a number beyond that.
Thanks.
Did that answer your question, Jay?
Most certainly.
Steve, since most of what we have are grant funds, mm-hmm. is there a drop-dead date that if we don't start, the state takes it back?
Usually there's about a five-year period, which you can ask for extensions on. On a project of this size and of its complexity, I can't speak in guarantees, but if we got to that point, I think we could ask to extend this. We're spending the oldest money we have first, which was the planning grant.
Right.
And so, you know, the other grants are, you know, at the max 2 years old at this point.
Okay, thank you.
Cindy?
I just wanted to make the comment that we did take advantage at the harbor dedication. We had Representative Christ Tompkins here and also an aide for Lisa Murkowski, and we took them through the police station to show them what the situation was and our concern. And while it's not a guarantee, they did let us know that they would be willing to help us look for grant funds to complete the project.
Also, Sam Keto III was
Very good.
A tour.
Yeah, just about all of the legislators that have been through town have been toured through the building, and they're kind of appalled at its condition. So, but we all know money is getting tighter.
Right.
But we did get another $1 million this year, and with the spreadsheet that you've sent around, another $1 million, if we got that next year, we'd be fairly close.
I mean, at this point, unless the Assembly gives us further direction, we are not planning on bonding the remainder. That while we do have funds that we could throw at it ourselves, it's still not enough to finish the job. Again, we'd like to get the design and construction documents done, get this thing shovel ready, in the meantime continue to lobby, as well as Kelly and others. We're kind of on the look for other grants beyond just what the legislature does to, you know, potentially some of the communications equipment, and that's some big price tag items. If we could find a grant for those, that helps us maybe offset some of those construction creep costs.
Absolutely.
But at this point, unless directed by the Assembly, we're assuming no bond, and we'll go back to the legislature again next year.
Okay. Any more discussion on this item? Will the clerk call the roll?
John.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
And Cindy.
Yes.
Okay, gives authorization to the manager to go into professional services agreement with MRV for the next step, getting the plans ready. Okay, authorization to join with the City of Kuprinoff in sending a letter to the University of Alaska President Patrick Gamble requesting the university suspend the finalization of timber sale contracts for the Wrangell Narrows East and South Mitkoff Island development and disposal plans. Dave Beebe, councilman for the City of Kuprinoff, has provided considerable information on the timber harvest. The proposed joint letter, the operation summaries of the two timber sales showing location, the May 2nd, 2014 City of Kuprinoff letter to the university, and the March 13th, 2014 Department of Fish and Game letter have been included in the meeting packet. Other information regarding this matter was available at the city clerk's office, and the borough clerk's, and still is. I will read the letter, the proposed joint letter that was drafted by Kuprinoff City Council, I'm assuming. To the University of Alaska President Patrick Gamble regarding Wrangell Narrows East and South Mitkoff Island development and disposal plans. Dear University of Alaska President and Board of Regents, the Kuprinoff City Council and the Petersburg Borough Assembly request that you suspend the finalization of timber sales contracts for two University of Alaska timber sales in Southeast Alaska on Mitkoff Island. Specifically, the sales are known as the South Mitkoff Island and Wrangell Narrows East Competitive Timber Sale Development and Disposal Plans. The reason for our urgent request is that we will be addressing these two sales during the Monday, May 19th, Petersburg Borough Assembly meeting. This late date of discussion is due to the failure of the Division of Forestry to provide timely notice of the receipt of the detailed plan of operations for these sales. Consequently, the public has only recently been provided with this new information concerning the sales impacts, which merit careful consideration. The Board of Regents approved development and disposal plans authorizing two timber sales in the absence of a meaningful public process. These timber sales will likely result in the increase of severe landslide potential, loss of critical deer winter range, and visual impacts to the Wrangell Narrows Scenic Byway, which are but some of the issues of vital importance to our borough's rural residents and elected representatives. Further, we invite you to enter into dialogue with affected borough residents consistent with your land management stewardship development guidelines, which recognizes that the university commonly holds additional public workshops and community forums to discuss such development issues as local impacts. To date, there have been no such workshops or forums, and given the importance of these issues, we believe they warrant more information and consideration. And the signatories on this would be Mayor Dan Atinas, Mayor of the City of Kuprinoff, and myself as Mayor of the Petersburg Borough. So, discussion.
Motion.
We need a motion.
Need a motion to, yeah.
Mr. Mayor, authorize this letter. Along with the, have you signed the letter, the Kuprinoff letter.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion been made by Member Haverlick, seconded by Member Greger to authorize us to join with the City of Kuprinoff in sending this letter that I just read to the university. Now discussion. Any discussion?
Mr. Mayor, as I stated earlier today on borough businesses, I am not anti-logging by any means whatsoever. So I don't want any of my logging friends to construe what I'm about to say as anti-logging. What caught me on this letter was here, we believe they warrant more information and consideration. That is the sole reason why I would vote for us to go in that direction, so that we'd have time to consider other options like it was presented to us tonight, not necessarily the deer habitat, but maybe better use for that land. Such as what Dave Kissinger mentioned, I think that should be looked into. I think there should be other things that we should explore instead of hastily just throwing the timber away, sending it overseas, and not keeping those jobs in Petersburg, and then us dealing with the fallout. I do not want it on my head if we have a landslide someplace and one of my citizens gets killed. So that's the only reason I'm going to do it for right now.
Okay, John?
Samir, I have similar comments to Kurt that, yeah, I believe we're taking all the liability and getting no economic benefit from it. Mostly when the logging operations occur in the recent times, like the helicopter companies out of Portland, They bring in their own lagers. Very few of them ever come to town, so about the only one who makes a buck on it are the bars at the most. And then all the logs go overseas. So I don't see any benefit to it, just all liability. And as Kurt said, you know, we've seen it in Oso. Wrangell's Road got wiped out with the logging. Same thing on Prince of Wales. I don't want to be stuck as a borough with the bill and no benefit.
Any more comments or discussion?
Since it seems popular, I'll give a similar disclaimer as Kurt gave. I have a strong background in the extraction industry, mining in Montana, so my logging friends listening can know where I stand. Here's where I get stuck on this, and I think some great points have been raised on both sides of this tonight and over the last 2 weeks when I've been listening to members of the community. But where I get stuck is, in particular, on the Keene, the one adjacent to Keene Channel, is that is a residential neighborhood. There are year-round residents living there on the Mitkoff side, directly adjacent to that, and on the Kuprinov-Keene Channel side, there's year-round residents. And I thought to myself, if this was happening in a place of year-round residence, such as Sandy Beach, as an assembly, I would hope we would oppose that sale, because year-round residents in our borough, I don't think they should have that. Whether it be Severson Subdivision, adjacent to or in view of Scow Bay, etc. And I think we owe it to the residents of that neighborhood, which it is, to oppose that land sale for timber use there right now.
Okay. John, did you, or any more comments? Cindy?
I actually live across from the Tonka timber sale and have been listening to it all summer, and so have the other permanent residents that live in that area. However, we bought our property knowing that timber sales existed in that area. You can see old cuts, and knew that there would be future sales. So I'm, even though I don't always appreciate getting awakened at 5 o'clock in the morning, which I mentioned to Mr. Parker of the Forest Service, I understood that that would be a consequence of living in the place that I live. I could not support the sending a letter as it is written. There are several things that do cause me concern. I would like to know that that the university did consider the slide hazard. I would support providing a letter that said, we would request that in the future the university would have an improved and more open public process. It's really difficult to know what they did consider and what they didn't consider. And I think that Mr. Wood made a really good point about the liability concerns, and that was not something that I had considered or had thought about before. So those three points would be something that I would be willing to speak to. But the letter as it's written, I don't think that I would vote for.
Any more comments, Bob?
I looked at the comments that the Habitat Division provided, and they were concerned more about blowdown. There was one anadromous fish stream out there. There was really no other, and they were concerned about maintaining the facilities of which they had put money into and so forth. But there were no other major comments on their part that they provided to the university. This was on sports fish now, ADF&G. I looked for Habitat Division. I couldn't find it. But going back, I've read all this information, and I'm pretty much in the same boat Cindy is that, well, there's a lot of generalities here, but there's not a lot of specifics here. I've looked at their timber sale. There should be a few more details to it than I've seen. I could support a letter that would ask them to look at, to provide some more details, but I don't think I can support the letter as written.
Okay, any more discussion?
I would just like to comment for my logging friends that I agree with Kurt and Jay that I'm not against logging, but I think we warrant more information and consideration. I'd also like to point out that it has been logged at Sandy Beach logged years ago. I have stumps on my lot that, and you don't even notice it because it's grown up. But and I am fond of loggers.
Okay. But I don't have an issue with signing this letter.
Any more comments, Mr. Waller?
Just for the record here, I'm not real thrilled about the way this letter is written either. I mean, you know, but the only thing I'm concerned about is that I would like to see more information and different options. So if that could be somehow conveyed, I mean, that would satisfy me anyway.
Any more discussion on that issue? I guess that leaves me to comment. I'm not going to vote for this, just one, because of the way the letter's written. Two, because I think we need another source of revenue coming into town, even if this is not a big timber sale. And listening to Jason Anderson talk about the way the logging might be performed, helicopter logging, it's not going to be a clear cut. I find that even a better reason to not support this letter. We've got a potential mill wanting to come to town, and I don't know if it'll ever come to fruition, but would support, you know, 30 jobs. We have 12 small mills around the area, and to make a statement that we don't support timber harvest, I don't think is good. So that's my position on it. Is there any more comments, any more discussion before we vote? Will the clerk call the roll?
John.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
Bob.
No.
Nancy.
Yes.
Cindy.
No.
Mark.
No. The motion carries 4-3. We will sign the letter and along with Kuprinoff. Okay, communications. I see none. Is there any communications by any assembly members? See none. Assembly discussion items. None listed. I guess recognitions, I had one, but Hannah Funt already talked about the track meet. That was pretty neat. The boys were behind Sitka by 2.5 points, and the coach said you could relate that to losing a 100-point basketball game by a free throw. So it could have went either way. If they would have flopped a fifth and fourth position, they would have beat Sitka and taken first two. But got a lot of good competitors going to state this week, so that's pretty fun to see. That being said, if there's no more recognitions, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.